Hey, it's episode 14 and I'm sitting down with my mate Cabba from Perth band Claim the Throne. These guys have been kicking it for the best part of a decade, probably longer actually. And they've just released a new album called On Desolate Plains, and you can actually hear one of the singles, Mantra, at the end of the episode. This was a lot of fun. Cabra and I met in Europe in 2008, and we've been mates ever since. Really funny dude. This is an interview I recorded a little while ago, so this was pre their tour with Winter Sun. So we're going to catch up in the next couple of weeks and do a post-tour podcast as well. So we'll see how it all panned out. It's really interesting. There's no ridiculous clip at the start of the show because I fucked it up and it didn't work. Sorry for being retarded. You're going to enjoy the episode anyway. We had some fun with the cunty questions. And Cab is a good cunt, so support his band. Claim the Throne. They fucking rule. Keep an eye out. They're going to be playing all over the world. Get involved. Thanks for listening. Please leave a 5-star rating or a positive comment on any of the streaming sites you use. It really goes a long way and it fucking helps me out heaps, especially considering the cunts I'm trying to support around the country. So thank you guys. Cheers.
Podcast initiation complete. Warning. This episode may cause brain damage. Hypermanic noise.
Welcome to the show. I'm here with Cabba, Brendan Capriotti from Claim the Throne. How are you, man?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me here to hang.
That's good. You seem excited.
I am, I promise.
That's how excited you look like I looked before I had my first prostate exam.
Wait till I finish this beer and you give me a comedy video and I'll be raring to go.
Well, the reason I'm recording this in the bedroom is so I can fuck you afterwards.
Sweet. Wore probably not the best jocks, but...
It's all right. I know what's inside them. That's the important thing.
You will say.
When did I meet you, man? 2008 in Europe.
Probably, yeah. Maybe we'd met a bit before that. I can't remember.
I'm not sure, but I remember I met you. We were at Wacken in Germany, and the thing to do was with your empties was to throw them at Cabba's tent.
Oh, right. I've played that before.
Yeah, you had a sea of empties around your tent.
Yeah, I'd probably passed out or something, because I think that year we were doing those that Centurion business where we're doing shots of beer, 100 shots of beer in 100 minutes. Early in the day,
it's entirely before the band possible. Start,
pass out, wake up, have your tent surrounded with beer bottles.
Yep, that sounds about right. I was drinking a bottle of spirits before lunchtime. So
Germany, eh?
Good times. Did you piss yourself there? I did.
Yeah, I heard actually on the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pisser, that's good.
Yeah. Well, you're a man of the same ilk when it comes to that.
I've had my moments here and there. I can't remember doing it on a holiday in backpackers or anything like that, which is surprising because normally it's an indication of how drunk you've
gone. Yeah.
Yeah, nonetheless. No, it's good when you can buy a bottle of spirits at the supermarket outside the festival for €8.
Oh, man.
And a tin of ravioli.
And fucking... pommes frites, whatever they call them. That's the thing too. Like the toilets at the European festivals, those drop toilets, are the worst toilets on earth.
You shan't anywhere at those festivals not in the toilet?
No.
I've done that.
I should have done
it. As a preference.
That. Yeah, I would. That's a smart move.
Yeah.
But it makes sense because alcohol makes your shits terrible. And what do you eat there? You eat the cheapest thing, which is chips and mayonnaise. Chips, mayonnaise, and German beer.
Currywurst.
That too. Fucking Jesus. Sauerkraut. It's a recipe for disaster. It is.
Yeah, so yeah, no flush. You can pay the €2.50 or whatever for the shower and the shitter.
I did that.
Yeah, I never did it there. I've done it at another festival once. But
I did it at Party's Home.
Money well spent, I think.
Yeah. I think at Wacken and I stuck to the whore bath, just went to the drink tap and just had a bit of a wash the old balls for a bit.
Yeah, of course. I did see at Wacken, hopefully we're going to get into the worst things you've ever seen at Wacken
segment, so.
But you know, they've got the row of all the portaloos, and so all of these toilets were full, and then there's one drunk German guy at the end squatting next to all the toilets and then just his friend pointing at him and laughing, and this guy's just crapping right next to the toilets.
Was it meant to be a public display of like, hey, check me out, I'm doing this, or was it just Germans being like,
they think things are funny that generally aren't?
Yeah,
like going to that water park down the road from the campsite and a guy buying some chips, hot chips, and then paying through the counter with a 5-euro note in his foreskin and making the lady pull it out of his cock. She wasn't overly impressed, but...
You saw that?
I saw that, yeah.
That, I'm not, well, I'm a little surprised. I thought I wouldn't be surprised at anything German-related at this point. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, strange sense of humour.
That wouldn't fly today.
Mm.
That would be on the news.
Oh, absolutely.
The good old days.
Festival would be over, and that's why we don't have festivals here, I guess.
Yeah, they're worried about foreskin money. Putting a 20-cent coin up there. Well, I'm circumcised, so I've been robbed of that opportunity.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd do. You'd probably have to turn around, tradesman's entrance.
Yeah, true. Mm. Shit some money out, like a piggy bank or something. One of my funniest memories was with Jim Parker.
I've heard of him.
You've heard of him? You know, curly hair.
Yeah.
Too many tattoos, that guy.
The Jew.
Yeah. The Jewish looking dude, yeah. He was brave to go to Germany in the first place. but when we went to the pool, there was this lady that was like 85 taking the money at the door. And he goes up to her and sticks his hand out and goes, "Hey, go on, fucking Jim, Australia." And she was just so confused. Like, didn't speak any English. But of all the people to address her, It was the most Aussie fucking bogan cunt you've ever come across.
He does put that on a bit as humour, which it is funny.
Oh, no.
But he does it in other countries as well. And last time we were in Japan, he was doing the same thing. He'd be like, "Arigato, designers, cunts."
So I spoke to Stu McGill from Silent Night the other day. Okay. And he's...
Not the cricket player.
No, different one. Yeah, right. He can't catch it all.
Yeah.
And he said... That isn't his brother filling in?
He is, yeah.
There you go.
Raymond McGill.
Raymond.
Who's more into cricket than Stu McGill.
Really?
Go figure.
Does everybody love Raymond or is he an arsehole?
So far we love him, but maybe by the end everybody doesn't love Raymond.
Yeah.
His main job on this tour, first priority, party really hard, because normally that's Jim's job, where he makes the rest of us party, because when we finish a gig, we're all just like, fuck, I'm going to sleep, can't be bothered. Jim will not stand for that.
Yep.
So when we have a fill-in, they need to do that. Second priority, play bass.
Play bass. Mm. That's important.
Yeah, and I think he'll do that, and he will also wear a lot of the leather.
Oh.
Yeah.
You like that, do you?
I just think it's funny. but I like seeing Ray McGill in leather.
Well, Rob Halford made leather popular.
Yeah.
For the masses. Yeah. And I'm glad that you're bringing a bit of him into the band.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
So the new album is On Desolate Plains.
Yeah, it is.
It is? It's fucking awesome, man.
Thanks.
Took you fucking long enough to release it.
Took a long time. Finished recording it yonks ago.
Yeah.
Released it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But here we are. The whole sort of idea of holding off was to try and get some... label support overseas, because we had a bit of trouble hitting into the Europe market, but after all that, failed and released it independently, and it kind of worked out well for us really in the end.
That's still not off the table though, distro can always come, and with the shit you've got coming up, like the tour with Winter Sun, and not just here in Japan, that's the sort of shit they're looking for. But I'm John Ryan and I were talking about this too. We're surprised that you didn't get that with the last album, because the last album was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it had everything there. All the boxes ticked. Mm. Like, that's the fucking X factor, right?
Yeah. It's funny. Like, cause the album before that we had, we were sort of sending it around to labels after it came out, and we got a couple of them with feedback saying next time, send it to us before it comes out.
Okay.
Was it the other way around? Either way, no. Last album, Fortune Flame, we sent it... either way, whatever it was, we did the opposite this time of what they were telling us to do. And it didn't really work. it's all good. Like, we're not too fussed about it. We just want to play European festivals, basically. And I don't think you can do that without... I think, the labels get their own bands on all these festivals. They have all these relationships over there. And same with getting signed, I think, if you sort of depends who you know, perhaps, and who they can pitch you to, and if the labels are looking for your style of music at the time.
Yeah.
And they're probably all full, all their rosters as well, and they're looking for good music, so we struggled. They're
looking for people with long hair.
Looking for people above 4'1".
I watched the new video today as well of you. Did you wear a pedometer in that video? Because it seemed to be a lot of walking.
Yeah, it was a fair bit of walking, probably not as much as it looked like. So and no pedometer, apart from pedos being able to
film it and watch. Yeah, I did masturbate. Magnetize. Picturing you as a child. I was going to ask
what you were wearing when you were watching it.
Yeah, yeah, I was wearing lederhosen, picturing you as a little boy.
Right.
And I found myself, there's a scene where you fall into the mud, like desperately looking for water, and you're drinking this shitty water.
Yeah.
And I was just, I had my face pressed up against the screen, trying to pick that you were faking it. Because I'm sure you weren't really drinking that fucking water. And I was like, okay, this is convincing, but I want to find the moment where I can tell that he's not really drinking the water.
Did you find the moment?
I don't think so, no. You sir, are an acting genius.
Yeah. I just did what I was told. And that idea was from the mind of Jeremy from Red Ascending, who was one of the dudes doing that. And he'd seen it on some movie years and years ago where a guy just desperately falls into water and he thought it was funny. So we did our own take on that. But I did fall into the disgusting swamp, so that's real. And it stunk like shit, and I had to throw my clothes out after washing them a few times. Couldn't get the smell out.
I'm not surprised.
But the drinking thing, you can see the water in my hands. That is Coca-Cola.
Ah, I did not pick that. Okay. There you go. You should be up for
first year, folks.
Wow. Yeah, this is behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Jesus. Mm. What else? Like, are you really a woman? What else can we get into?
I did really shave my hair off. That was done at that Gwellup secret garden place, which is where we filmed all that tropical-looking shit.
Oh, so you did shave your hair off there?
Yeah, yeah. So I fell into the water with hair, and then we got out and moved on and filmed a bit of the other shit, and then, yeah, actually sat down in the path, and Sophie had a razor and was shaving my hair off. People walking past going, what the fuck is going on here? And then went back to that water again and filmed the second half of it.
How did you feel when you got rid of your hair?
Pretty good. I was hanging to do it anyway, and I had planned to do it. And when I mentioned that to Jeremy, he was like, I've got the perfect idea.
Yeah.
So,
do you, would you ever go back to long hair now?
I'm trying to grow it back, and I've learnt that it's not going to fix the problem. So probably this weekend it's coming off again.
Oh, yeah.
Going on a tour, so I don't want to look like a little nerd with like 1 inch long hair and balding at the front, Devin Townsend style, so it's probably all going to come off, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which, I don't really care. It's easier in the shower.
That's the point I got to. Just maintenance.
No brushing, no washing. It's fucking easy.
It's a lot cooler.
Yeah, can't headbang, I guess, is the only downfall.
You can.
But
I believe in you. It can be done.
Just the hair comes out.
Yeah, I know. Well, I guess now people are going to focus less on the hair and more on the music, and maybe that's your downfall.
That could be the problem, yeah. How long have you had short hair for now?
Oh, shit. Fucking, I cut it off in Europe in 2008, the year I met you.
Oh, right.
But then I grew it back about sort of half, you know, down, I guess, maybe down to just about near my shoulders or getting there, and then I cut it off. And then I had one, like, piss weak attempt at growing it long again. And then I just went, what am I doing? I can't be fucked. I would never grow it long again now.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it was there was this crazy guy in my hometown called Busker Dave. And he was a busker, funnily enough. And every song that he played sounded exactly the same. he'd have the guitar and be strumming up and down, like, ding-a-ning-a-ning-a-ning-a-ning-a-ning-a-ning-a-ning. Didn't matter what the song was, like, Guns N' Roses, oh, sweet child of mine. And then the Beatles would be, love me do. Like every fucking song was the same. And one night we were hammered and he goes, oh man, you know, I got my long hair. I feel like I store my anger in my hair, you know. Whoa. That's where I keep my anger, my hatred of the world. And he'd go on this rant about politics, you know, like a sort of Queen, he was an odd breed, you know, a bogan in Queensland, rural Queensland that wasn't racist. He was must have been the only one.
Right, yeah.
But I felt like there was some truth to that because I was going through a lot of shit at that time. And I just thought, you know what? I felt like I was wearing a uniform.
Mm.
Like, and then at Wacken, like where I come from, being the metalhead, you were the different person. And then I'm at Wacken and there's, like when people say, oh, did you go in 2008? I said, yeah, if you look online at the videos, you'll see me. I was the guy with the black shirt and long hair.
Because
I just realized, fuck, I'm not unique. This is everybody. And I realized I was keeping the hair to, like, be metal.
Yeah.
I thought, what difference does it make? It's me fucking hair. So I cut it off.
Yeah.
With some real hot bitch to cut it off in Greece.
Nice.
Yeah.
And here we are.
And here we are. I'm still alive.
These days you can grow a beard to offset it a bit.
It's a terrible beard. I fucking hate my beard, eh?
Really?
The missus likes it. That's why I keep it around.
Good.
It's fucking terrible. See, you got a good beard. You got thickness.
I'm trying to grow it a bit, yeah, to offset the hair.
But yeah, but you've got mass.
Mm. It goes pretty rango when it gets long. And also I've got the gap between the top of my beard and the bottom of my hair.
Yeah.
Like a centimetre. So I pretty much, if I'm going to grow a beard, I have to shave my hair.
Well, you and I both have rango beard.
Yeah.
Why? What colour are your pubes? Let's get down and dirty.
I don't have any right now, but they are black.
My pubes are black. Arm hair, leg hair, pretty fucking clear.
Hmm.
Brown hair.
Yeah,
red facial hair.
Black eyebrows.
Yeah, there's and my anus hair is purple, of course.
Right, yeah,
just,
yeah.
You know, so many dicks in there. So many big veiny purple dicks that just took the colour after a while.
But my mum's a ranger, so I think I get that from her.
There is no redheads in my family.
Really?
There's actually a medical thing. Term.
Ranger beard.
Yeah. You know, there's a medical term for the ranger beard. I've forgotten what it was. But my dad said to me years ago, he said, they should knock all redheaded children on the head with a shovel at birth. He's a very accepting man.
That explains a lot as to who I'm looking at.
It does, doesn't it? This is also a man that would walk past, like, if there was somebody that was just, you know, fucked looking, he would walk past them from a foot away and go, fucking look at the head on that cunt.
Whoa.
Like, a foot away from them. Just, there's no inner monologue with my dad. It's all said.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So my stand-up act is basically just my dad with punchlines. That's kind of what I'm going for.
That makes it easy, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I had to, obviously with my line of work, working at a school, I kind of want to keep the two worlds separate.
Yeah, of course.
So when I was like, fuck, I've got to change my last name. I thought, fuck, let's use his name, Harvey.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. That's where that came from. It just made sense. I thought, he's turned me into the animal that I am, so...
Has he heard this?
The podcast. He probably doesn't know what a podcast is.
All
right.
Seen your show?
Dad has seen me do one show in Melbourne where I ate shit.
Oh, no.
And the venue was the size of two queen-size beds, and there was maybe 10 people. And I ate plates of shit, and my dad was about 5 or 6 feet in front of me with his head in his hands, so embarrassed. And I'm looking at him as I'm bombing, trying to right the ship, watching him, because he's got no fucking, he can't hide this shit. He's just so outward.
If it was anyone else, he'd probably be giving you shit right to your face, like you were saying, if someone walks past.
Yeah, but he was so embarrassed. And I was like, that night I was having a cigarette upstairs at the hotel, and I was like, man, I'm glad they've got a grate up here or else I'd jump off. Like, I've never felt worse about a gig.
Jesus.
And yeah, just
probably because he was there makes you nervous a bit.
Yeah.
Something like, it just happens, man.
Like, and I wasn't very good then. Like, now I could handle a room that size. But that is, it's kind of, I guess it's sort of the same with music, but with stand-up, if there's 1,000 people or 100 people or 200 people, it's easy. But if there's 5, it's, or 10, that's fucking hard.
Mm.
Because if you have 100 people and 10 laugh, there's still some laughter going on. But if you've got 10 people and 1 laughs, you're painfully aware of the whole thing.
I find that we tend to do the opposite, which sucks. Like, we'll play really good to 5 people and we'll go, fuck, I wish everyone else heard that.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we'll play some huge, big, important show and totally fuck it up, or have gear issues, or just be shit.
Yeah, so, well,
and still to this day, you know, we've been together for many, many years and still have your shit gigs.
Oh, it happens, man. I eat shit. I did an MC set at the gay club, The Court.
Oh, yeah?
And one of those gigs, there was 8 people in the audience, and I pulled out all the stuff that has been on fire lately, and it all just got a lukewarm response. Normally
you make jokes about gay people?
I don't make jokes about it. I don't have any jokes about that, actually, because, and I wouldn't do them there if I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, just it's a rough room, and a lot of sort of PC shit going on there.
Yeah.
But it's funny because one of the gigs I saw you at, your big show, was with Lamb of God.
Oh yeah, that's the one I was going to bring up in particular.
I was standing upstairs watching you guys, but I was behind. I was essentially listening to the folds, and it sounded really good.
All right.
And I was unaware of that you guys had sound issues.
Yeah, cool. Oh, that's good to hear.
Sounded good for me and the five people up there.
Yeah. I mean, you never know, because that was sort of playing to a bit of a different crowd for us. So we were kind of excited to play a weird style of music for people that probably haven't heard that before. But then you just see all these faces in the crowd. You're like, I don't know any of these freaks, and they probably think this music is fucked. So you don't really know whether they're looking at you out of confusion or looking at you like you guys are fucked or what it is. But like, yeah, we had major on stage issues. Yeah, still to this day, I have gear problems all the fucking time, no matter how much effort you put into it.
But so, I thought you guys were well received that night.
Oh, there you go. Don't know.
So I'd tell you, what point would they be lying at this stage?
Yeah. Make sure you do tell us that.
Yeah, I will. Look, I've seen you guys play shit hammered enough now.
Mm.
I've seen you guys suck.
Yeah.
I know the difference. There might have been sound issues, but the playing was on point. Is the beer bong going on tour?
No, we don't really do that anymore, eh? Maybe from time to time for a special occasion, which this would be a special occasion, but no, it's not. We'll come up with some different ideas, though. It's just travelling with that fucking thing now and kind of looks dumb. Doesn't look dumb, but we're trying to make a name for ourselves as actual good musicians with good music. Mm-hmm. And if we take the piss too much with that sort of shit, I think it probably takes away from it a little bit. There's a few other bands doing it now as well. We're just like, fuck it, we're kind of over it.
Plus, a few other bands that may have ripped off Claim the Throne sound, vibe, stage show. I can think of one in particular from my neck of the woods.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like to say that because...
It's all right.
I'll
say it. I don't give a fuck.
I don't know. It's more like influenced by or inspired by, and I should actually be happy about that, you know?
Mm.
Made an impression enough for someone to want to do the same thing.
Maybe.
And
I wouldn't be.
They might say the opposite thing anyway. They were already doing it before us.
They might Who say knows? That.
I don't even care anymore.
They'd really. Be lying. But I mean, it's also been done. Like, there's a few bands that are, even Children of Bodom, they're known for being alcoholic piss wreck band, and they get up hammered, and Ailstorm, who you guys have toured with. I think that sort of shit's probably more fun for the local shows, where everyone knows you guys.
And we try to keep it fresh. Like, we don't like to do the same funny on-stage shit every time, and we've done some ridiculous crap on-stage barbecues, making cakes on stage.
What? How did I miss this?
The barbecue one. It wasn't like a full barbecue. It was like a George Foreman grill, and we made hot dogs on stage while we were playing. And people from the crowd were eating the hot dogs. There was fucking mustard being squirted everywhere.
When was this?
That was at Amps. Good few years ago now.
Fuck, how did I miss
that? That was pretty good. When Ale Tales came out, we had a CD launch for that and made a Ale Tales cake, and that got fucking trampled all through, where even was it? Hyde Park back room or something.
How did that go down with the venue?
They shut down after that, but I think it was more because Jake smashed a mirror in the bathroom with our axes that all went missing that night when we used to take weapons on stage as well.
Which
that's
Jake?
Really old. The same one that
looks
up videos of animals, dogs getting married. Yeah.
I'm shocked.
May or may not have been him. I don't even know.
But put it out there, Jake Rolfe. You damaged property at the Hyde Park Hotel and you are liable. I hope you get arrested, you cunt.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so the beer bong every single time, and this probably becomes a bit of a thing for people to expect.
Yeah. Do you guys still wear the chainmail at all?
Nah, that stopped years ago as well.
Okay.
I wondered what's going on there. Acoustic songs and all that stuff has gradually phased out, I guess.
But you've still got elements of that, like... As interludes and things.
In the recordings, yeah.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah, totally. But we used to play live. There'd always be one or two acoustic songs in the live set, which doesn't happen now. More just because it's too hard. And same as chainmail, like traveling with that in a plane is not fun.
That's some of your strongest stuff,
mm.
I think. Those on the last two albums, those bits where you and Jesse are sort of playing in the middle, I'm like, fuck this. It's a completely different aspect to what you guys do. And I really like that because it's like a different window into you guys.
Cool. Yeah.
I've always found those because it's unexpected.
Yeah.
On the album, like you got this brutal shit going on, and then these things, and they really do link the songs together. Is that intentional, or does that just kind of work that way?
Kind of. We always get good feedback on the acoustic stuff, so try to still put it in. And because we're not as, like, quote-unquote folk metal anymore, we still want to have that element of melodic-y, catchy sort of traditional shit or whatever. So it's intentional in that sense, but at the same time, I think songs just call for it sometimes and just happens. Or, you know, we might write it one way, but then when it comes to the recording, we might be like, that'd sound fucking good with acoustic guitar instead or whatever.
I actually heard of you guys long before I, because obviously I knew Dicey, who's in your band, before I knew you.
And we were on the same compilation CD, Enlightened by Darkness and Claim the Throne.
Which one?
Wait.
Blaze in the Southern Skies?
Yeah, we were.
That was before he was in the band.
Yeah, it was.
Yep. I met him in 2007, but when did, which album came with the book?
Only The Brave Return, our first one.
I heard about you guys then, because and what year was that?
2000 and... I have no idea.
Okay, that's good.
Seven, eight.
Something like that?
Yeah.
That sounds about right, because my band was playing in Brisbane, and there was a forum called BrizMetal. And
I went to that a few times.
Yep. And somebody said, oh, there's a band from WA that have released an album with a book. It's available in Rocking Horse Record. Was it Rocking Horse?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I saw it there, and I looked you guys up, and I fucking hated that album. It wasn't for me. I get it. And I said that when Dicey joined the band, I was like, really, man? I was like, I get it, but it just does nothing for me. And I totally get why people got on board with that, but I just feel like you guys are so different now. It's still the same band, but it's just so much better. There's more energy, there's more technicality. It's less sort of, you know, beer drinking, you know, dancing in the forest kind of stuff, and more, I don't know, I feel like you're getting more personal with the lyrics too.
Well, one thing I never used to do was use, like, first person narrative, like me or my or I or anything in lyrics. I do now. I don't know. Don't even know why. It just calls for it, I guess. But that first album, like, it didn't really pull off. Like, it wouldn't sound like this, but it was sort of supposed to be going for, like, a bit of a black metal melodic death mixed with the folk metal thing.
Okay.
We obviously didn't pull it off then, but, like, what we're doing now is kind of that, but polished and well written, I guess, in comparison.
How much effort did you put into the book?
A lot of effort, because to get it actually done was pretty fucking hard. But yeah, one of the guys who used to be in the band, Ollie, I don't know if you've
met him. Yeah, I've met him.
Oh, yeah, a character, someone I miss dearly. Now he doesn't live here anymore. But yeah, we used to just hang out most days. We used to work at the same place in the call center.
Oh,
you were there. Oh, let's not even talk
about it. No, it's not worth bringing up. I might kill myself.
Yeah, but we would finish early some days, and then we'd go to, like, the coffee shop and share a pot of peppermint tea and write ridiculous things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even know how the hell it started, but just as we started coming up with these ideas, we just thought it was funny and, like, making each other laugh by coming up with dumb medieval names and town names and shit. And then, we just had this idea because we had this thing we were jamming on. And, Jim and this other guy, Brenton, at the time, we were mucking around with some stuff we'd starting to write. And we were just like, what is this song about? It should be about this chapter from the book. And what is this song? It should be a chapter from the book. So just, like, came into this book where it was every chapter is the same.
Oh, okay.
As the song.
Yep.
So if you wanted to read more about the lyrics, you could read that chapter in the book or whatever.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we knew the music was pretty shit. So it was just like trying to make ourselves stand out or just do something absolutely crazy that no one has ever done before. Yeah. And we got a bit of traction about it, and some was positive. Like, some people were totally fucking all over it, and some people just thought it was the worst thing they'd ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Understandably. And then, yeah, it just went from there, I guess. And then, yeah, the only person on that first album who's still in the band is Jim.
Yep.
So obviously a bit of an evolution. Should explain a lot.
Yeah. Was it an expensive exercise?
The book?
Yeah.
Not including labor.
Hmm.
It was, we did pay someone to proofread it for us and give us feedback on the storyline shit. And they were like, well, this will never get published, but this is what we recommend. And we tried to fix it a bit. That cost whatever.
So that was their feedback?
Nah, not at all. But you could tell by the way they were writing. Yeah. They were like, this, what is this? But they had good, they still gave us good feedback, and we turned it into something that was moderately readable. And then just printing them, which was really expensive. Yeah, it was like, I don't know, might have cost, I think we got 200 of them printed, and it might have cost about $15 per book, so we had to sell them for whatever, $20 to make any money. But strangely enough, we did sell them all.
There you go.
Got, I think I've got one copy for myself left now, and that's about it.
That was a cool idea though, man.
Well, the idea was to make a new book every time we had an album, but we never did it again. We did start writing a second one, which was about halfway through, but never finished it.
Well, I know Coheed and Cambria, they released comics for each album.
Yeah, right.
And Rush released a book for their one of their later albums, but who else can you name that's done that?
Yeah.
It's a shame you didn't do it for this album. That would have been sick.
Man, I just, it does take a lot of time and energy and stuff. And back then I would be like excited to lay in bed all hours of the night, like instead of going to sleep, just writing a book. But now I don't care enough to do that.
Well, you probably weren't getting laid back then.
Well, no, certainly going to bed by myself every night.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's when you can write about orcs.
I'm like texting my mates going, I just came up with this name for the orc.
Yeah, and then...
and he'd be like, oh, that is amazing.
And then you'd just jerk off
talking on the phone. Exactly, yeah, that's it.
Awesome.
Yeah, crazy story. I don't know, maybe we'll release the other book one day. But it is something weird to look back on and go, I've actually written a book. If I tell anyone that, they go, what the fuck are you talking about?
That is funny. Have you ever thought of releasing it digitally? Have you done that?
Yeah, I have thought about it. Make an audio book.
Yeah.
And I've never got around to it. You do get it as a PDF for free if you do the Bandcamp download of that album. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Like
a, whatever it's called, ebook.
Mm-hmm.
But nah, do plan to audio book it one day.
Mm-hmm.
But not high on the priority list.
For a guy that has a Winter Sun sticker on his car, how stoked are you to be touring with Winter Sun?
Pretty stoked, man. Pretty stoked. Pretty stoked. Very stoked.
You're very articulate in your description. Is that because
it's a weird thing? Because like, if it happened 5 years ago, it would be like the biggest thing on earth. Like, oh my god, I've got this band, I've got this support act with my favorite band ever. Holy shit! Now it's a weird thing because we've like the timing is just so crazy. We've got this new album out, and so we're going on tour, and it's exciting for that to spread the album around and stuff. So it's a bit surreal that who we're actually playing with. We've done quite a few support slots in our time, and like every time you get one, it sort of like loses impact a lot, which sort of sucks. I guess you don't have that same excitement feeling that you do the first few times. You just want to play a good set and whatever.
And a lot of it doesn't live up to what you want it to live up to.
Perhaps you have all these crazy ideas of what you think is going to happen. You're going to be partying backstage and you're going to be best friends afterwards. And you're going to get to go on tour in Europe with them and then, all this shit. And it's funny, like that Lamb of God one you mentioned before, like as soon as we were announced for that, started getting phone calls from people asking, like, can I get a door spot? Can you take me backstage? Can you get this signed? Like, we're not even going to probably meet any of the band members. So
did you meet them?
No, we saw them a few times walking past and said, g'day and whatnot, but didn't hang out or anything. Which, like, I wouldn't even think twice about it. Like, they're probably exhausted. And
I know. But
coming to Perth. But...
And also, if you guys were touring around the country with them for five dates and one of your best friends said, hey, do you reckon you could get this signed? But it's...
That'd be different, yeah.
But it's everybody wants to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, can you fucking get this gig? And then even when I supported Brian Posehn, all these people wanted a door spot. I'm like, dude, this is my first big support. And you want me to hit up the promoter to get everyone in for free? Fuck you. Just buy a ticket or don't come.
Yeah.
But cunts are cunts, man.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a bit of a reality check when you start doing support slots, I guess, as to how it actually rolls.
Yeah.
But I guess, the most awesome thing is just being able to watch Winter Sun every night, because if we weren't playing with them, I would have flown over east to watch them anyway.
Yeah.
To one show probably, but now I get to go to all of them, plus the Japan thing
after that.
So... maybe the Australian shows will be all hectic and we won't get to hang out much, but maybe by Japan, we'll already know each other kind of and get a bit more time to get on the piss or whatever.
You're going to put the butt plug in and prepare yourself to maybe that's what it takes to get on a European festival. If you take, is it Yari?
Yeah.
If you take Yari, he'll take you on tour.
I'll give it a shot. See how we go.
All right. I do a thing called Cunty Questions. Cunty questions. if you could go on a world tour with Wintersun, and all it took was you having to take it up the ass from one band member on each date of that tour, would you do it?
Every date. How many dates on the tour?
Australian run. I like how you're already thinking, all right, how many times?
Exactly. If I had to do it once to go on a tour, yes. If I had to do it every night.
Not every night of the world tour, but every night of the Aussie tour.
Six times,
and you get to tour with them for a whole album cycle.
Probably not. I'd do it once.
Once?
Yeah.
Really? Think about it and come back to me. I'll do another podcast with you after the tour and after you've fucked them, and we'll see how many times you'd be prepared to do it.
Shit. All right.
Now, another one of these cunty questions that I like to do is, if there's a nuclear holocaust, right, and you're trapped on Earth and the only people left is you, Donald Trump, Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin, who do you reckon you'd make friends with? Who would you kill? Who would you eat? Who would you rape? Like, because I just can't think. I would contemplate suicide.
Have you seen that movie? I can't remember what it's called. They portray Kim Jong as like a unloved little child, and he's like just wants to play basketball and hang out and shit. And there's this American guy, who like dumb American actor, who's gone over and just partying with him. And
The Interview.
Yeah, The Interview. Yeah. So because of that, I'm thinking that he'd be fun to hang out with. Obviously not real, but
that's
my impression of him.
I don't think our impression is accurate. This is a guy that fired an anti-aircraft missile at his uncle.
I think Vladimir would be a bit of a sick cunt.
I think he'd be cool.
I think Donald would have some good stories, but I'd get sick of listening to him pretty fucking quickly.
I reckon 2 weeks you'd hear all the good ones, and then he would just get on your nerves.
Talk about himself too much, maybe. Talk about China too much. And
he wouldn't have to talk about China. It wouldn't be a China.
The memories, maybe.
The memories.
Yeah, we'll kill him off first.
I reckon Vladimir Putin would have sick stories.
Yeah.
Like KGB assassin, fucking just basically walked into Russia. He was president, he left, and then he came back. He's like, yeah, I'll be president again, but you got to give me fucking 40% of the national wealth.
Dark sense of humor, maybe.
Yeah.
Creepy evil guy.
Yeah. Whereas Kim Jong Un is a creepy evil guy, but he's I don't know. There's this sort of podgy pedo thing going on there.
I'd probably eat him for his podginess. Looks probably like he'd have the most tender skin.
But he also, it would be a lot of fat. It'd be like Wagyu beef, high caloric content. So I mean, if you're looking just purely to survive, but if you're trying to maintain a shredded, sculpted physique, you might want to eat Vladimir.
It depends what I feel like eating, I guess, at the time. But
would you eat the dick and balls? Oh. Would you have to be desperate?
How am I cooking it?
However you want.
Yeah.
I don't have to eat it raw. You can imagine you've got access to like a MasterChef kitchen of spices and herbs. And
I wouldn't go straight for it, put it that way. But if I run out, I'm still pretty hungry.
Yeah.
Give it a nosh.
Who do you reckon would have the biggest dick and balls?
Oh.
I reckon Donald Trump's got a little bean on him.
Yeah, Vladimir, man.
Yeah. He's probably just fucking swinging. And also...
bigger than the little Asian pecker thing.
That's racist.
It is racist. It is racist. Casual racism.
But being that my great-great-grandmother was Chinese, I can confirm that anyone of Chinese descent has a small penis.
She had a small penis?
She did, and I've inherited it all the way down the line. Yeah, right. But the Russians are renowned for getting their dicks out and just fucking at the gym, at the park, at work.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got
the Polish, all the Eastern Europeans like that.
Yeah. Well, my girlfriend she's Polish and she doesn't get her dick out very often.
Yeah.
You
have to like take her out to dinner.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work.
Watch a movie, then she'll take it out.
Yeah. It's fucking...
That's pretty big.
She calls me Adolf and bends me over, man. Gets rough. All right, man. Well, have fun on the tour.
Definitely will.
Really proud of you guys. You guys have fucking come a long way. The new album's great. And you've been putting in the work and it's paying off. I just hope that you guys get the right lucky break because that's the only thing missing.
Cool, man. Thanks for the support.
No worries.
Appreciate it.
And I'm going to chuck a song up at the end. Which one do you want to go with?
Do you have one that you'd like?
I really like Mantra.
Yeah, go with it.
I'll go with that. All right. This is Hypermanic Noise with Brendan Capriotti, a.k.a. Cabba, a.k.a. the Master of Sexual Mischief.
Cheers, cunts.
Cheers.
static noise.